How many of you come expecting? We're going to talk to you a little bit this morning. On being in a place to make the right choice at the right time. If we make a decision, if we make a choice, if we're given the opportunity to make a choice, it can cause rest or unrest. And this morning, the Lord wants us to make the choice that's going to cause rest. Yeah. It's going to cause you and I being sustained in God. But in order for that to happen, we have to fully come to a realization in our life that it's got to be about God. Right. It can't be about the one. Ethan, come here. You know, if me and Ethan's walking, just stay next to me. We're walking side by side. I can't make my decision based upon Ethan. Ethan can't make his decision based upon me. It has to be a decision that has to be between me and God or Ethan and God. And in the book of Ruth, we find that there was three women. And a decision had to be made. And if I would have to title this message this morning, it would be, you're either going to kiss or you're going to cling. One out the two. You can sit down. Thank you. One out the two is going to happen. One out the two has to take place. You're either going to kiss or you're going to cling. Because that's what happened with Ruth, Naomi, and Orpah. There were three women. And see, I made the statement, we can have rest or unrest. Listen to me. Not every time we look across the field and it looks better, it is better. Not every time we think, well, I'm going to go over this away, because the grass seems like it's growing a little faster. Or it seems like the ears of corn might be a little bigger. Just because it looks good doesn't mean that's where we need to be. Sometimes we have to choose on how it looks and what it really is. And in order to get to grab a hold of and grasp what it really is, we're only going to see clearly through God. In the book of Ruth, chapter 1, in verse 1 says, now it came to pass about in the days when the judges and governors, that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem in Judah went to sojourn in the land of Moab. Listen, as I begin to prepare for this service, as I begin to just ask the Lord, which direction are you wanting to go here? How are you wanting this word to come forth? Some of us here this morning, we need to make a decision whether or not we're going to dwell in Moab or we're going to go back to where God said to be. See, they left Bethlehem in Judah to go to Moab because there was a famine in the land. And no doubt at that time, Moab seemed to be the place to be. But if you go on to read, the Bible says Naomi's husband, Elimelech, died. And she was left there with her and her two sons. And they found them wives of the land of the town of Moab. One was called Orpah, one was called Ruth. And her two sons died. How many of you realize about now they're feeling some pain? About now there's some questioning. About now there's some things happening saying, what am I doing here? You know, if you, when you go on and read further down in the book of Ruth, Naomi even made the statement when she went back to her homeland, not to call her Naomi, but call her Mara, because the Lord had dealt bitterly with her. You see, sometimes in our life, sometimes in our walk, decisions that we make cause us hardship. Decisions that we make cause us unrest. In fact, it could even cause death. I'm talking about it can cause natural, physical death. Not to mention how often it causes a spiritual death. But God wants to raise us. He wants to turn us in the right direction. But we have to come to a realization that it's not about the person that's standing beside me. It's not about the person that I'm married to. It's not about the person that lives next door to me. It's got to be about God. See, the three men died. Naomi decided, I'm going back where I came from. You know, after they grieved and they cried together and they held hands and they hugged, Naomi told them, she said, go back to your parents. Go back to the land where you're from. She said, why did you want to stay with me? She said, at my age, if I would have a husband tonight, the real question is, and I would conceive and bring forth two sons. The real question is, would you wait for them to be grown and stay away from having another husband and wait for them to be old enough to marry you? She said, go back. Go back. Don't stay with me. I'm releasing you. Listen, in the church world, if we would have services across America, and we would say, we're releasing you, 90% of the churches would empty out. Because there's people sitting on a church pew this morning looking for a way out. But they're not looking to God. They're not looking because they haven't come to a complete realization of who God really is. You know, you think about Jesus. When Jesus was 12 years old, Joseph and Mary were going back home. And they began to look around, and when they looked throughout the congregation of people that were traveling with them, they couldn't find Jesus. So they went back. And the Bible says they found him in a temple, talking to the doctors and the lawyers and the leaders. And he was talking, he was asking questions, he was giving answers, and he was listening. And they said, where have you been? He said, I'm about my Father's business. Jesus understood. You know, I made this statement not long ago talking to somebody. They said, well, do you believe Jesus is God? Well, no, because how unjust would God the Father be if he sent the God to earth to live as man, and because he's God, he can't sin. Jesus was born just as you and I, with a self-will. Just like Ruth and her sister-in-law, they have a self-will. They had to make up their own mind. It didn't matter how Naomi felt. It didn't matter what Naomi said. It didn't matter which direction she was going. They had to make up their own mind. And you and I have to make up our own mind as to who God really is to us. I need to make up my mind this morning who God is to me. You see, just some God, and occasionally I'm going to have a just bump-in relationship with him? Or is he going to be my God every day of my life, no matter where I am? That's what he wants to be. But you see, Jesus was our man with a self-will. And he said, my will is to do the will of my Father, to be about my Father's business and do what he called me to do, to travel the road that he laid before me. But we go back to the book of Ruth. In Naomi, in chapter 14 of verse 1, and they lifted up their voices and wept again. So evidently it happened before. Evidently they gathered together, the three of them, in mourning and hurt and pain and sorrow and a loss of a loved one. And they wept together. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. Then she said, behold, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law. But Ruth said, do not urge me to leave you, nor turn back from following you. For where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. See, that was the key right there. I believe this verse should have been read backwards. Because what caused her to make the right choice was she came to a realization from the time she met her husband. No doubt he told her about the God they served. No doubt they lived a life to where she knew that the God they served was different than the God she once knew. And she fell in love with him. She had a clear understanding of who God was. And she knew if she went where God said go. Listen, she left her father and mother. She left the security of the city that she lived in and went where God said go. Where you go, I will go. I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. Thus may the Lord do to me, and worse, if anything but death part you and me. She had a mind made up. But she knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that if she followed God, everything would be taken care of. Listen to me. I don't know what you've been thinking about. I don't know what's been going through your mind. But I can tell you, if you go with God. You see, in Bethlehem, in Judah, God already set somebody up to take care of them. God already had the way made, but there were some things that had to be done. It had to be done the right way. It had to be done God's way. You know, when we start doing things and try to do it our way, all we do is mess up what God has planned. Or we hinder what God has planned. You know, I don't want to be the one to hinder the plan of God in my life. You know, I was getting ready this morning, and I was thinking about some services back when I was a teenager. Thinking about some things that, you know, people said and people done and how services went. You know, we had revivals all the time. Some were good and some wasn't. But I often wondered, after I come to a realization of who God really was in my life, how does people gauge a good revival or a bad revival? You know, Brother Brian, I had a guy call me one time. He said, man, you need to come to our church. Are we having a revival? And that evangelist could tell you what you ate for breakfast. I said, I already know what I ate for breakfast. I don't need him to tell me. Man, he could read your mail. I don't need him to read my mail. I could open my own mail and read it. But that's how they gauge whether or not they were going to go. You know, I'll never forget, I'm in Thomaston, Georgia, and I'm preaching. And the second night, I'm standing. In that church, I'd have been about right here. And I'm standing with my back to the back door. And I heard when this lady walked in and she says, if I'd have knew he was here, I'd have been here last night. I said, Lord, help me. Get control. And I'm thinking about this the whole song service. How am I going to preach after that statement was made and not say nothing? So I just told the Lord, I said, Lord, just let it come out the right way. And I got up there and I started preaching. I said, you know, if we fall in love with God the way we fall in love with man, I said, we need to quit coming to church because some evangelist is here. We need to quit coming to church because somebody can tell us a couple things that God showed them about you. And we need to fall in love with God, and it don't matter who's here, you'll be here every service. I didn't have to point her out. She knew who I was talking to. But how often you ask somebody to come to church and then, well, who's preaching? Look, when Pastor first started leaving, I ain't never been asked that question so many times in my life. Who's preaching? Fall in love with God and you won't care who's preaching. Start coming to church and serving God because you love Him and you want Him, and it don't matter who preaches. You know, one of the hardest days of my life was right before Christmas. I didn't know why. But when I left my house and I was going down the road, I turned in at Blanchard Lane. And I pulled up in Sister Nita's driveway and I walked in. And I had no idea what happened. I had no idea what was going on. And she looked at me, she said, well, you do the services for Terry's baby. And I kind of looked at her like, because Ashley had a miscarriage. And I said, sure, I'll do it. And what it was about a week and a half later, when we done it, we went up to the funeral, to the graveyard, and we done the burial. But listen, that morning, and through that week and a half, I'm preparing for that service. And the Lord brought me to Deuteronomy. He said, I want you to give them this scripture. And the scripture is, I place before you this day life and death. Choose life. And that morning before I got in my truck, Brother Josh, I was getting ready to go. I got dressed and my wife and I was walking to the truck. And the Lord spoke these words to me. He said, if you can't tell the truth, go back in your house and don't show up. He said, if you can't speak the truth, I don't need you. And I got to that graveside. And I called that mama and daddy on the side. And I said, listen to me. I gave them that scripture and I gave them several more. I said, but I want to let you know something. God wasn't bored in heaven and needed him an angel and took your baby. I said, if God wanted an angel, you know what he'd have done? He'd have spoke one into existence exactly how he wanted it. Said, God never done that. Said, I want to let you know, this didn't happen because God's mad at you. Because God loves you. I said, and it might be hard for you to understand what I'm about to tell you. I said, but I'm giving you these scripture. And I want you to go back. And I want you to just give God one chance. Give him one chance to be real to you. Said, sometimes the life we live causes things like this to happen. I'm talking about it hurt. It was one of the hardest things that ever spoke out of my mouth. To look at a mom and a dad at that time. But God said, if you can't be honest, if you can't tell them the truth, if you can't tell them what caused it, I don't need you. You know, I'll never forget, Brother Josh, I'm standing by that door right there. Right up in that area. That door wasn't there at the time. And there's a casket right where this table is. And there was a pastor come in. He was about that tall. I felt tall on side of him. He was about 75 years old. And he stood by that casket. And he introduced himself. He ain't never been here before. Didn't know the man laying in the casket. Didn't know the family. He said, y'all all want me to tell y'all this guy went to heaven. He said, but I can't do that. He said, number one, I didn't know him. He said, I didn't know what lifestyle he lived. I knew nothing about him. I was just asked to come do this service, and I cannot guarantee you he went to heaven. He said, and that's the problem with funerals. I'm standing back there just wondering, when am I going to have to go to the front and help him? Because about right here was the whole family sitting just looking at him. He said, everybody wants to know their loved one went to heaven. He said, that's not always the case. Lord, I hope this is you. Just anointing, protecting. And some lady stood up. And she said, well, I just want to let you know I led him to the Lord. And he prayed the sinner's prayer and he accepted Jesus as his Savior. And that man stood beside that casket. He said, with that being said, I still, in my heart, I cannot guarantee you he went to heaven because I've never met him and I've never spoke to him. And I don't know what kind of life he lived. He said, so you take what you heard based upon what you heard and you make a decision whether or not he went to heaven. He said, but I'll not tell you he did. I'll not tell you he didn't. See, he was honest. You know, sometimes honesty hurts. Sometimes the truth cuts. But you see, in order to be who God desires for us to be, we have to be willing to go into the field. We have to be willing to do what Jesus did. We have to be willing to work a little bit. And the Bible says that Ruth went into the field to glean. How many of you remember all the services Pastor preached in all the times that he mentioned, we will reap a harvest that we didn't plant? Listen, she had to be willing to go out into the field and glean to reap the harvest, but she never planted it. But because she made a decision that God would be her God, he sustained her. I want you to hear me this morning. Every one of you here, God has placed someone in your life to sustain thee. Every one of you. But it's not going to come until we come to a complete knowledge of who God really is. We have to be able to distinguish the difference between who Jesus is and who God is. And as she went out, she began to glean. And she was gleaning in Boaz's field. Somebody say Boaz. Listen, God has your Boaz waiting to sustain you. But you got to be willing to go out into the field. And Boaz shows up and he asks the guys with him, working for him, whose damsel is that? He said, that's Ruth, the Moabitess woman that came here with Naomi. And Boaz went to him, he said, don't go and glean in another field. In other words, don't leave from where you are. Don't give the enemy a chance to step in and guide you somewhere else where God said don't go. But stay here where God led you. And then he went to the guys. He said, look, let some fall behind. Don't fuss at her because she's picking it up. Just on purpose let it fall so she can get it. Listen, on purpose. Somebody say on purpose. I want, the reason I'm having you say these words is I want you to grab a hold of it. Because we're about to enter a time in the rest of God that on purpose somebody's going to bless you. You know, just a couple weeks ago, my phone rang and I answered and the guy says, I need a price on some nets. And I called him and I gave him the price and it was about right at $300 cheaper for this set than it was the last set. He said, well, the last set was $2,000, so just call it $2,000. That's what I'm going to pay you. Listen, God has your Boaz ready to bless you. But we have to realize that only God, keeping our eyes upon him. See, I can't take my eyes off of God because somebody's blessing me. I got to keep my eyes on God so that I can continue to be blessed, so that that person can be blessed, and God can continue to do what he wants to do. You know, we wonder, we go through life wondering, how are we going to make it? And no doubt, the enemy attacked Ruth on her way from Moab to Bethlehem in Judah to, and no doubt he said, well, you know, he had her question, what's going to happen when I get there? But I believe in the question, even in the attack of the enemy, we have to have our mind made up that my God can supply all of my needs according to his riches in glory. We have to know that beyond a shadow of a doubt. And then I want you to go back. It's only four chapters. I listened to this so many times on my CD, on my phone, I should know it by heart, the whole book. I played the whole book, and God said, play it again. Played it, he said, play it again. Listen to me. She went. Her mother-in-law told her, Naomi told Ruth, she said, go, because he's next of kin. Tonight he'll be gone. And when he goes to his house, I want you to go and lay at his feet and uncover his feet. And whatever he tells you, do it. Somebody say, whatever he tells you. You say, well, what is God telling me? It's right here. It's right here. But if I do this, it does me no good. It's just another book. You got to open it up. You got to get in it. You got to partake of it. He's telling us what we have to do to be blessed. He's telling us what we have to do to have a Boaz in our life to sustain us in hard times, to sustain us and cause us to be blessed and be who God desires for us to be. It's right here. But she uncovered his feet and he says, who are you? And she said, I'm Ruth, Naomi's daughter-in-law. You're next of kin. He said, just lie down right there. He said, because there's one before me. He said, and I'm going to go to him. And if he'll not play the part of the kingsman, then I will. And the Bible says that he went to the gate and he waited. And when the man came to the gate, he called him off to the side. And he had witnesses with him. And he said, there's one that came with Naomi. Her name's Ruth. And she has a parcel of land to sell. You need to buy it. He said, but if you won't buy it, tell me, because I'm going to buy it for myself. You see, when she went in and she laid at his feet and she uncovered his feet, he could have jumped ahead and he could have bought it up and messed up everything. But Boaz knew beyond a shadow of a doubt he had to be in the will of God, not only for him to continue to be blessed, but so that he can be a blessing to Ruth and Naomi and cause that name to go on. It was all in God's plan. It was all the way God planned it. Listen to me, we could take this story, and if you think you can't make it, they were human as you and I are. And he went to the man, and the man said, buy it for yourself. And Boaz went back, and he bought the parcel of land, and Ruth became his wife. And she bore a son. And it's all in the lineage of Jesus. Her son was named Obed. And from Obed came all the way down to David. And from David came Jesus. It was all the way God planned. Listen, God has a plan for your life. Say, God has a plan for your life. Every one of us. He already has it worked out. What he's looking for somebody to do is walk it out. God has it He has the path already laid. He's looking for you and I to walk it out. Ruth walked out the plan of God in her life. But there was two decisions. A kiss or a cling. And in a church where there's been too much kissing going on. And not enough clinging. You say, can I do it? Listen to me. The biggest thing that we face in South Louisiana is we got this I can't mentality. And God wants to deliver us from it. You know, I was preparing up in that office a few minutes ago, just up there, just thinking about God's goodness. And the Lord brought back to my remembrance from Katrina to now, all the things that God done in order for me and my family to be blessed. But you see, up to the year, 2 years after Katrina hit, I always had a crutch. The fact that I never finished school and never had an education. And it hindered everything I'd done to that point. But if you go with God, somebody say, go with God. He'll never lead you in a place that he can't sustain you. You know, I was called, and they said, I need a boat captain. And the first thing that entered my mind, boat captains has to do boat logs. And I told the guy, I said, look, I said, I can run this boat. I could go anywhere you want me to go. But when it comes to doing boat logs, I can't do that. See, I had that I can't mentality. He said, listen to me. I don't care how you write it, just as long as I can make out the times of how long this boat worked and what it done. He said, the times and dates is the most important. I said, well, I could do that. Because we got to make sure this boat gets paid, because if the boat don't get paid, you don't get paid. Well, I know I could do it now. See, it was something that I had allowed to hold me down. And then after Katrina, we had the oil spill. Well, I was offered a position in the oil spill that required paperwork, required having meetings with people from the person that was working on the dock all the way to the top executive of BP. And I'm wondering, you know, how can I do this without having a proper education? And the Lord always reminded me of something. He said, you have me, and with me, I gave you common sense. Follow my lead, and I'll take you where you need to go. And from BP, it went to working for another company in an oil spill that required computers, a whole lot more paperwork, making what they called them files, PDF files, scanning and copying and sending. And I'll never forget, we're in Thomaston, Georgia, and my phone rang. And this guy says, I need you to come to Denos and Curel right now. I said, dude, right now ain't happening. I'm in Thomaston, Georgia. I'll be home next week. I'm preaching. He said, when you get home, come the very next day to Danos and Kiro, we want you to go to work. And I walked in that office, Brother Josh, and I looked that man straight in his eyes. I said, I can inspect boats. I can drive anywhere. I can do whatever you want me to do. But when it comes to computers and paperwork, we might have a problem. I had top people from BP call me and said, if you take this job, we will help you do the paperwork. You know, thank God he gave me a wife that understands all that stuff. And after a couple weeks, I got the hang of it. I was able to send a PDF file out my truck. See, oftentimes, I said that to say this, oftentimes, in this area, in the South, we allow conditions to hold us bondage. April of last year, got a phone call, sat in on a school board. You should have been in that first meeting. When the man, he sits me down in his office and we're talking about 12 years of schooling and 4 years of college, then went back another 2 years and all of these degrees and everything. He's a teacher and was a principal and now he's superintendent. I said, I didn't even finish high school. I went to the eighth grade. And he kind of gave me that look. I said, but let me tell you one thing, buddy. I got common sense and I can make right decisions. And we got along well. See, God, way back in 2009, God sat me down one day and he said, you let this hold you bondage long enough. He said, go with me and I'll show you what you can do. But I had to be willing to step out. See, Ruth was willing. She stepped out of the comfort of her own home. She stepped out of the comfort of her own community. And she said, I'm going to let God. I want God to be my God. And she said, I'm going to let your people be my people. And I'll go with you all the days of our life. See, that's how it should read. They put it in backwards. Because it took God in order for her to accomplish all these other things. And I'm here to tell you, you might feel insufficient. You might feel like I just don't have enough. I just don't know how I'm going to make it. Listen to me. God already has your Boaz waiting to sustain you. He already has your field that you're going to glean in. He already has the reapers leaving some back on purpose so that you'll have more to pick up. But we got to go with him. It's not about who I'm married to. It's not about where I go to church. It's not about where I'm from. It's not about what my last name is. It's about who my God is. That's what's going to get us where we need to be. It's who's our God. How much do we honor him? You say, how real does God want to be to you? Listen to me. I was on the phone the other day with the guy that I met when I was a teenager. And we was talking about churches and people. And I made this statement. And Pastor and I, we every now and then we'll say it to one another. I remember when we first got here. You know, this church was open about a month when I walked in. And gave my heart back to the Lord. In the very next service, I was preaching. But we'll remind one another. You know, there was a time, Brother Joshua, when this church first opened, if we thought one of our people was going to sneeze, we grabbed the Kleenex and was waiting to wipe their nose. And I told this guy the other day, I said, you know, God wasn't pleased with that. Said if somebody was going to the hospital, we beat the ambulance there waiting for them. We never gave people a chance to understand what trusting God really was. And look, I'm not saying don't go to the hospital. I'm not saying don't be there for people. That's not what I'm saying at all. Because there's times in our life that we're going to have to be there for one another. There's times in our life we're going to have to encourage one another. But let me tell you something. We need to quit depending so much on people and start depending on God. You know, just the other day when my wife was having surgery, I'm in that waiting room. And the most aggravating thing to me in that waiting room was that little lady that was volunteering that kept bugging me. It's like everything they'd done, every time something changed by the number they gave me to watch the monitor, she came and explained it to me. Lady, I don't need all of that. I got the peace of God here. You know, I told my wife it was so nice up until that point. Now I'm just there thinking about the goodness of God, just how great God is. God's, you know, just sustaining me. The peace of God was there. And then she come try to run it off. No, the phone rang. It's the doctor, because she said every so often she would call throughout the surgery and tell me, oh, don't get alarmed. I'm like, lady, I don't look no different than I did when I walked in. Just, you need to calm down. You alarmed because the phone rang. But you know, we have to be in a place that whether anybody's there or not, we got to know our God is in control. You know, that morning on our way up to the hospital, I said, I hope you didn't call everybody and tell them. I said, because I ain't ready for no waiting room full of people. I was looking for me another little room to go off to if everybody would have showed up. She said, oh, no, I didn't tell nobody. In fact, Pastor didn't even know. But there was a time. We could have never done this without the church being there. But you see, you come to a realization of your life of who God really is. You see, if the only time we feel the presence of God is right here, we're in trouble. I felt more of the power of God when it was just me and nobody else around than I do a lot of times surrounded by a church full of people. You know, sometimes we gauge a church service on how many people show up or how many comes down to the altar. But listen, this is what we're going to do. You know, I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, how you want this service to go? What you want said? What you want done? And when they were singing that song, Show Me Your Glory, we're at the part of the service that we need to understand that we need God's glory. We need His presence. And I want them to come back up here and we're going to sing this song. See, before you go up there, stop right here. Brother Josh, come here. Jake, Jack, Ethan. Trey Sean, come here.